This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening, San Diego? Welcome into Gwen and Chris on a Monday. A great day to be an Aztec for life. Not a bad day to be a Padre fan for life either, as the Padres play at Petco Park for the first time this season. This evening, just a few days ahead of opening day. Not a bad time to be a sports fan at all. We welcome you into the program at 201. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is at Petco Park and should be joining us shortly. Scrape?
Shortly. They had the opening of the new Gallagher Square, and Tony was one of the people, I think, that gets to cut one of those cool ribbons.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that he was the one with the scissors, but...
We would hate to get in the way of that ceremony.
Yes, but I would love... Would you ever love to do that one day?
No.
Be able to cut a ribbon with big scissors?
It is really not on my bucket list. I've never thought of it before.
Strange that it's on mine, but not yours.
Not on my bucket list, but I mean, I guess if I had the opportunity to do it, I wouldn't turn it down. But I'd never really thought about doing it before. On my bucket list... Like, was making a Final Four with my favorite team, and that's happened. And now this same team is back in the Sweet 16. For a second year in a row, the Aztecs just pummeled Yale yesterday. Sorry about that, Yale. But
no, you're not.
Well, I am. I feel bad for Yale. I mean, they had a nice little win over Auburn. I thank them for that.
I mean, they get their one win. They can move on.
I'm appreciative of them knocking out Auburn. I'm very appreciative of them doing that. But the Aztecs toyed with them yesterday. And I know that the Aztecs have no shot to beat the great, unbeatable, greatest basketball team ever assembled, UConn. Huskies on Thursday night. I know this, but I also know something else. And that is if the Aztecs shoot 13 for 27 from 3-point against UConn,
seriously,
they might beat them. That was quite the impressive performance by the Aztecs last night. I mean, they're knocking out shots like that. Miles Bird 3 for 3. Darion Trammell hit 4. Our guy, Elijah Saunders, knocked in a pair. Lamont Butler hit 2. Jaden Ledee hit 2 threes.
He did.
2 for 2 at the beginning of the game to help set the tone. But this Aztec team shoots like that. I know that nobody gives them a chance on Thursday. Here's the thing that really doesn't matter about all that. Because, like, the national media is going to pick UConn 100%.
Oh, yeah. And they probably should.
They probably should, based on what UConn has done, based on where they're coming from last year, etc. But I know about 15 kids that wear red and black uniforms that don't think UConn's going to beat them.
That's very true.
And that is all that really matters.
It is.
As long as those kids go in there on Thursday to Boston and believe in their chances to win this game, they can win the game. UConn is not unbeatable. They have certainly looked like it, though. My goodness, they have won every tournament game the last 2 years by at least 13 points.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Nobody's even been within a dozen points of them in any game last year in the tournament or this year so far in the tournament.
Does not make me feel good.
No, of course it won't. They were up by 30 on Northwestern yesterday. But the Aztecs were also up 30 in their game against Yale. But, I mean, UConn, you know, the Aztecs can say, well, we were close a little bit in the national championship game. They were. They got within 5 with 5 minutes to go.
They did. They did.
So the one thing that I like about the Aztecs in this situation is that they've played them. They've been on the floor with them. I know the teams are a little different.
A little, yeah.
But basically it's the same. You know, it's the same group, same guys, and they've been on the floor with them. They've been there. They've done this. Now they can, instead of focusing so much on what UConn is like and what they have to do to deal with UConn, they can just go out there and do what they have to do. And if they go out there and do what they have to do and they hit 13 threes,
they'll win the game.
I could be crying again on Thursday night.
You know, Chris, I'm going to tell
like
you.
Like I was last year.
I'm going to tell you
why. When they beat Alabama, and nobody thought they'd beat Alabama either. So
I'm going to tell you why the Aztecs are going to beat UConn on Thursday.
Why they're going to beat UConn on Thursday.
Here it is. Here it is.
Okay.
So the Aztecs, last year, they had a first-round matchup against a 12 seed.
Yes.
They ended up winning that game. They move on to Furman, who beat Virginia, which is a 13 seed, same seed as Yale.
Same scenario.
Aztecs blow out Furman. They blow out Yale.
Right.
Then they go and they play the number one team in the entire tournament in Alabama. They win that game.
Right.
And now they play UConn, the number one team in the entire tournament in this game. It's way too uncanny how they're following that path.
Yeah. The path lays out for them. Here's the only fly in that ointment.
Don't throw a fly in my ointment.
I need to throw a little fly in the ointment. Alabama was a karma mess last year.
Even I won't go there right now.
And even you would have to agree with me based on the whole situation with the guns and Brandon Miller and whether he should have been playing or shouldn't have been playing and Nate Oates' attitude about it. Alabama was a karma disaster. The Aztecs were able to go in there and break that apart. UConn looks like a button-down, take-no-prisoners, just business-like, going to just walk all over you and go on to the next game. That's what they look like.
I think even though
UConn is the number one overall seed this year and Alabama was the number one overall seed last year, that's where the similarities end. I think Nate Oates is an all right coach, but I think Brian Dutcher and his staff easily outmaneuvered him. I don't know that they can do that to Danny Hurley and this team. So
I have optimism.
Of course you have to have some optimism. But there's a whole bunch of other teams I'd rather them be playing Thursday than UConn, but that's who they've got. And as long as these kids believe they can do it, it can be done, Scrape.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited. They're 10.5-point underdogs, which doesn't mean a hill of beans. It doesn't. I mean, what does it do? UConn doesn't get any extra points on the scoreboard because of it.
That's true.
It's just everybody's idea of how this game is going to go. And UConn has done nothing to disprove anybody thinking they will win by 10 or 11 points or more. But like I said, I don't think that Lamont Butler is going to be nervous. I don't think Jaden Ledee is scared of anything.
He's definitely not scared of anything right now.
Did you hear what Charles Barkley said about him at halftime last night?
No, I was too annoyed with Kenny the Jet wearing all of his Yale gear.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Really?
Oh, he was just trying to be funny. He's not
all day, though?
It was funny.
Oh,
and
come on.
Not only was it funny, but he had to eat so much crow at halftime because they showed him with all the stuff, and Ernie Johnson kept looking over him like, really? Like, you got so much crap there. You got the pom-poms. You got the sash.
You have a beanie.
You got a beanie.
The bulldog wasn't there.
You got everything. And Kenny Smith finally looked at him at the end of the segment and said, I think I got to go pack up my gear. Because he knew he was beaten.
Yes.
So, I didn't mind that. I mean, I don't take it personally. I mean, it's TV. He's got to try to do something. And I can understand people getting behind the Cinderella story of Yale. You know, the Aztecs were once in a similar position. But what Charles Barkley said was so spot on at halftime, as he always is. He's breaking down the first half, and he said, all I know is if a fight breaks out, that Ledee guy, you grab him last. You grab him last. He goes, you grab a point guard or a power. You grab anybody before you grab him.
Yes.
And that's Charles Barkley saying that.
I know.
That's a big guy. Talking about a man-sized guy. Jaden Ledee absolutely dominated the first two games.
He's a monster.
58 points in the two games combined. He had 9 rebounds yesterday. I think he had 8 in the first game. He didn't even play most of the game yesterday. Took him out with about 10 minutes to go.
Which is good. They get some rest.
Get a little rest. Anyway, the Aztecs didn't get much rest, though, last night. They came home, and they didn't get back at campus until about 4 in the morning. And there were some people who thought, why didn't they just fly straight to Boston from Spokane? And the reason they didn't is because they had all of the plans to come home last night from Spokane because they didn't expect, playing a morning game Friday, that they would be assigned the very last game of the day on Sunday.
That normally
doesn't happen, but that's exactly what happened. So they pretty much had to come home. They're going to go right back to Boston, I think, tomorrow. I don't think there's going to be much time back here in San Diego before they head across the country again. But that's just what they have to do.
But they have to head across the country, and they also are playing on a Thursday when they just played on a Sunday, which I don't understand either. Don't they usually do, if you play on Friday,
I don't think they can do that. I don't think they can do that for everybody.
All right.
They just can't.
Well, of course.
And the good thing is with the Aztecs is they don't care. This team doesn't make excuses. This team doesn't worry about stuff it can't control. That is something Brian Dutcher will not allow. Steve Fisher before him. That's out of your control. You play the game when it's time to play the game. You show up. They played in a 10:30 in the morning in the first game, or 10:45.
They did, yeah.
Against UAB.
Yep.
And then they played last night. It was supposed to be at 6:30. You know when the game actually started last night? 7:15.
It did start late.
So you just play when you play. You don't have excuses. You fly home when you fly home. You get on the plane, you go to the next game when it's time to go. And when they tip up the ball Thursday, you play. That's what this program's been built on. And it's a good life lesson. Just do what you got to do. Don't worry about stuff that's out of your control. Show up when they tell you it's time to show up and be ready. And I have no doubt that the Aztecs are going to be ready. And I just hope that they can find a way to beat a great team. They have a great opponent. That is, you know, you can't argue it. They just have a great opponent. But, you know, they've been playing great. They played great yesterday. I think they played above what, you know, if you don't think that they played above what they usually do all year, then you haven't been paying attention. They were way above, you know, normal last night. And they're going to probably need to be up in that rarefied air again on this Thursday.
This lines up for them to win, and it's because, like you said, they already have this experience. If they didn't play UConn in the national championship last year, I probably wouldn't give them much of a chance. But they've been on the big stage with this team. They've been on the big stage many times now, and they're ready for it, Chris.
Mark Ziegler brought up a great point. He said, honestly, the Aztecs have now played 8 NCAA tournament games in the last basically a calendar year. Most of these teams have played 1 or 0.
Mm-hmm.
They've played 8 of these games. Problem? UConn has also played that many.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like they've been sitting on the sidelines.
That's where they're supposed to be, Chris.
Well, they were a 4 seed last year. Don't forget that.
That is true.
But this year, they're good. They're good. But so are the Aztecs. I'm proud of them. And I'm proud of the fact that there's only 7 schools in the nation that have been to back-to-back Sweet 16s the last 2 years. And our school's one of them. I mean, that's
awesome.
That is high-ranking company to be in.
Very high-ranking company to be in.
You know, that is makes me proud to be an Aztec today, for sure.
The Utah State coach is now out, and he's being reported as going to Washington.
Yeah.
And that just makes Brian Dutcher getting that extension from the Aztecs that much more important because, I mean, they could still buy him out, but it just shows you Brian Dutcher wants to be here.
He's not going anywhere.
Brian Dutcher's not going anywhere.
He wants
to be here.
Danny Sprinkle, for everything he did this year at Utah State, and that was a nice job, and he won the Coach of the Year. He was using this as a stepping stone to the next place, and a lot of guys do that.
What was it, coach job chasing? Is that what Mark said? And that is kind of job chasing. A little bit.
But
anyway,
you know what? Good for him, and good luck to him. By the way, his team looked absolutely pathetic yesterday against Purdue. And I know Purdue's good, but...
Oh, yeah, they did look really bad.
Utah State, I've watched them. You've watched them. They're not that awful, but they did not show for that game. Just like every other Mountain West Conference team in the tournament didn't show for their game. The only saving grace once again for the conference, the Aztecs.
Everybody on the chat is very surprised I'm optimistic, which I didn't think I was that.
It is rare for you to be optimistic.
I didn't think I was that big of a Debbie Downer.
Rare for you to be optimistic. Padres play the Mariners tonight at about 6:30 out at Petco Park. It is an exhibition spring training game. But we will have the broadcast for you a little bit later. Once Tony gets situated, he will join the program as well. We have a lot going on today, including a visit from the smartest bracket guy I know, Sean Paul. If you were with us last week, he told us that Grand Canyon would beat St. Mary's.
Yep.
And he also told us that there was one number one seed that could go down the opening weekend. And he said that team was Houston, and he was pretty darn near close to getting that right, too.
He was. I mean, come on.
That
game
what he's
last
doing.
Night was pretty incredible.
The Houston game?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Good game.
Houston's beatable, though.
Houston survived. Look out for a team that survives like that early in the tournament. Oftentimes, they're able to go deep.
Scraby Show tonight is only 30 minutes with the game on the station.
I'm sorry to hear that, Scraby.
Yeah, I know. I was going to get into some deep conspiracy, but I'm not going to tonight.
Won't have time to do that. We will get rolling here on Gwen and Chris when we come back. Somebody get the scissors from Tony and tell him to get back up in the booth.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
2:22 is the time. Welcome back. It is Gwen and Chris. Monday. Scraby and I hanging out in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. cutting ribbons and stuff at Petco Park. He'll be joining us shortly.
He didn't actually cut the ribbon, though.
I know. I'm just saying.
I know. We were wondering, and I'm very disappointed for him.
He didn't get to cut the ribbon?
No, he held the ribbon as it was being
held
cut.
The ribbon.
Yeah.
Good thing he was there, because otherwise the ribbon would have fallen. Tony played an important role. He will join us shortly from Petco Park. We are underway here a day after the Aztecs make it to their second consecutive Sweet 16. Man, oh man. After making to the final game last year, if you'd have told me that, you know what, they're going to make the Sweet 16 this year, I would have been like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yep.
That's a hell of a season. I don't see Miami of Florida in the Sweet 16 this year. I don't see Florida Atlantic there.
I don't. They got beat in the first round.
Yeah, Miami didn't even get out of last place in its conference. The Aztecs lost five players from last year's team, and they're back in the Sweet 16. And by the way, anybody who says, well, who did they beat to get there? Here's your answer to them. They beat Bleep, and they beat you. So stop saying that about the Aztecs and who they beat. Everybody's good in the tournament, and if you don't believe me, ask Kentucky. And if you don't believe me, ask Auburn. And if you don't believe, you know what I'm saying?
I do,
these teams get knocked out all the time.
All the time.
The Aztecs didn't get knocked out. They beat whoever they're supposed to beat, and they are in the Sweet 16 in a deserving spot. A quick note, there is newsworthy item about Shohei Ohtani. And this is like Scraby's favorite story in the world right now.
It's not my favorite, but
he really loves
it. It's really juicy.
You love it.
It's juicy.
You love this whole, did Shohei Ohtani bet money on games, et cetera, and what happened to
him? I'm not going to say that.
What happened to his $4.5 million?
Well, that is interesting.
Well, Shohei Ohtani is going to address all of the allegations and all of the comments that have been made about him in a press conference about 20 minutes from right now. Where can you at? Watch the press conference? I don't believe they're allowing cameras in.
There is one camera.
One camera will be allowed in.
Yeah, MLB Network.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can watch it on MLB Network, then.
I think we will.
But questions will not be allowed.
Sorry, what?
Questions will not be allowed. Shohei Ohtani is going to read
never
a statement.
Seen anyone ever do that?
Oh, I've seen a lot of people do that. People with a lot of things to hide usually do that.
Ooh,
somebody ought to explain to Shohei Ohtani that by not taking questions, which he's not going to do, he's just going to read a statement. I don't know what he's going to say. We'll all find out together.
Whew.
But by not taking questions, we've learned, all of us, in this TMZ world, that you just create more questions.
Personally, I wonder how much it can't say because of an upcoming legal thing.
You know what? People have been hiding behind that for decades.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't say anything because of the legal... Whatever. Yes, you can. If you didn't do anything, why don't you say it? If you didn't do anything wrong, say it. Don't tell me that that's going to affect the legal process in any way, shape, or form. Right?
Well...
I mean, this whole notion that I can't say anything because...
It'll,
you know, my lawyers have told me I can't. What's going to be used against you? That you say you didn't do anything wrong? If you didn't do anything, say it. If you're not lying, they can't use anything against you.
You're right.
Tell the truth if that's what the truth is. But by not saying anything, you're basically telling me that you're hiding something.
I agree with you, Chris.
Thank you.
I agree with you, but
If I didn't do the crime, I am going to scream from the mountaintops that I didn't do the crime. I am going to scream until they shut me up. It's going to be no way I did anything wrong. In Motani's case, if somebody stole my money, hacked into my account, I'm going to scream that until it becomes believed by everybody. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, I'm not going to address that. I can't.
I don't know.
Why not?
Because there is his career is on the line
now. But you can address it if you didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, you can, but you don't want to because people are going to use something that you said or one little answer that you gave is something that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I'd like to know how you're going to use this against me. I didn't do anything. If you didn't do anything.
But
if you did,
but Mr. Otani,
then if you did, then don't say that, and you can't say that.
But Mr. Otani, your name was on a $500,000 wire transfer to an illegal bookmaker. What do you have to say about that?
All right, I'm just telling you.
Chris says, "All right."
I'm just telling you. If I didn't do anything wrong, I'd be screaming from the mountaintops.
I'm with you. I am with you.
We'll see what Shohei Ohtani says in about 25 minutes. And we'll fill you in, although we won't be able to answer any of your questions because he won't be taking any.
We won't have any more information other than I didn't bet on baseball. I didn't know this was going on. I'm going to cooperate. Thank you and good night.
Yeah. The Peter Seidler Celebration of Life took place on Saturday. It was emotional. It was heartfelt. It was enlightening. And it was healing for a lot of people. We will hear some of the things that were said about the late, great owner of the Padres in our next segment. I'm sure Tony will share some stories with us as well about the late, great Peter Seidler. So we will get into that. We'll keep you up to date with what's happening in Ohtani Gate.
Everything's a gate.
Yeah, that is. Whatever happened to Glove Gate, by the way? Kind of disappeared after they won the next game,
didn't
it? Yeah,
they scored 15 runs.
Yeah, Glovegate didn't seem like that big of a deal now.
Well, because Jay Cronenworth completely rebounded from Glovegate. He put Glovegate to shame.
Everybody I talked with after Glovegate basically said that was on Jake. And
what about the crawl into their dugout and loosen the screens?
That I can't help you with. But the point that everybody made to me, and I can't disagree with it, is he just took infield with that glove no more than 5 minutes before this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just can't believe that he didn't notice something might be amiss. That's the only way I actually put a little blame on Jake here. Like, you took infield, you took a bunch of throws from short, third, second, the whole thing. You threw ground balls, they threw you the ball, and you caught it in your glove. It just seems like you might have noticed something was amiss before that ball went through the webbing. I know that Tony will stick up for Jake. I want to stick up for Jake, but
it doesn't matter anymore, really.
It doesn't matter anymore because glove gate's over.
As long as it doesn't
happen
again.
Glovegate is now over. Padres have won a game.
They said Ipe did it on the chat.
They're on their way to the World Series.
Okay.
Gwynn and Chris is on their way. Tony's coming back in this next segment. So we'll have him. We'll talk about this celebration of life. Get some Padre thoughts from Mr. Gwynn Jr. himself as Gwynn and Chris keeps rolling. back to Gwen and Chris. 2:36 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Together in our Odyssey Palace studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, where he held the ribbon, I heard. How was the ribbon-holding ceremony, Tony?
Yes, the ribbon-holding ceremony was pretty sweet.
Was it heavy?
It was kind of heavy.
It was heavy.
There was about six other people holding the ribbon, so it kind of lightened it up a little
bit. Quite the ribbon. Well,
yeah, it was
all right.
Pretty thick.
Very good.
I was really bummed that you didn't get to use the scissors. I've always wanted to
Scraby
do that.
Scraby says that's on his bucket list,
is
to cut a big ribbon.
I mean, do you ever see the ones with the big scissors? Like the scissors that fit the same size?
Yes.
That's what I was hoping to see, but, you know, it didn't go that way.
They didn't have one of those.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
Unfortunate.
All right. Well, Tony, I said I'm definitely proud to be an Aztec for life today. I am sure that you are as well. Quite the performance by the Aztecs over the weekend. A second consecutive Sweet 16. It feels like we're getting more than we ever would have imagined from these guys.
I feel like, and I said this last year, right? Aztecs make the finals. I was like, they go get to another Sweet 16. You have to start thinking of them as like a Gonzaga-type program. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
Second year in a row. And what makes it sweet is they get to go up against a team that, you know, handled them pretty nicely last year in that final. They get a chance for redemption. It certainly won't be easy. This team is equally as impressive in terms of UConn as they were last year. But you can't help but to be, if you're an Aztec, be absolutely elated by what you saw yesterday. That, for me, was the performance I wanted to see to make me feel good about the next matchup, because they had struggled offensively. They've been struggling offensively for quite some time.
Yeah.
And to see them knock down the threes like they did on that stage, it gives you a good feeling going into the Sweet 16 game, because offensively is where you had question marks. If you've been watching the Aztecs over the last month, you've definitely felt a little uneasy about how they have performed offensively. Last night, they came to play.
They were brilliant, and I know how good UConn is. I will never, ever like that. But I do feel if the Aztecs hit 13 threes, they can beat anyone.
I mean,
because the Aztecs are still that good defensively, and they proved it. Yale was a team. I know Yale's Yale, and everybody's like, well, whatever. Yale had not scored under 60 points for 3 years.
Yeah.
And they got 57 last night. I mean, the Aztecs defensively, both games, just totally dominated the floor against both those first two teams. They're not going to be able to destroy UConn's offense, but they're certainly going to make UConn work for everything they get.
Yeah, I think the crew said it yesterday after the game that was on with CBS, was that if they hit 13 threes, there might not be a team in the country that could beat them when they're playing like they were yesterday defensively.
Yeah.
And I just thought, obviously, Lede is a monster, and I think the nation is kind of getting a chance to see it. But don't forget about them two guards up front that were causing havoc all game yesterday and really have done a terrific job defensively throughout this short tournament so far.
Very proud of the Lamont Butler, especially. I mean, he's had two sensational games in a row.
He's taken out the best guard or best scorer each night.
Both
that
games
they played.
The guy he defended last night scored 36, I think, in the first game. Scored 9 last night and 0 in the first half.
Yeah, 0 in the first half. He was just pounding my man.
Yeah. He's hounding my man. I love the phrase "my man," and I told you that when I ran into Steve Fisher this year at a banquet, not for him but for the Holiday Bowl, and he came up and I went over to say hi to him, and he said, "Hi, my man." I went, "Nah, you can't use that. That's mine and Tony's." When you don't remember somebody's name,
it's a good one to go.
It's a good one to go to, and Coach Fisher used it on me. So, you know, I got to feel it from the other side of the street. Peter Seidler's thing on Saturday, Tony. I mean, you know, so emotional, heartfelt, but healing for a lot of people, and so many wonderful stories and memories. These events are never fun, but I think they're necessary. And I think for somebody the likes of a Peter Seidler, they are well deserved.
Yeah, man. It was called a celebration of life for a reason. I think his lovely wife Sheil wanted that to be a celebratory type deal, as opposed to the sadness that is usually attached to it. And there was definitely some of that. You could see the emotion from a lot of the people that were up on stage. But you know, I think for those who were in attendance, you kind of got to hear a lot of the things we got to hear the day he passed away, and we had people calling into the show and kind of giving you things that you didn't know about Peter. And it was just more of that. And I thought, you know, everybody who spoke, particularly A.J. Preller, who I was so blown away by his speech, because he doesn't really speak like that, from the cuff like that. And I sent him a text later that night. I just asked him who he was. Like, who are you, man? Like, that that was it was really an excellent speech. And there was it was among a lot of other really good speeches. My mom got up there. She surprised me. I thought Manny did a good job. Joe was fantastic. I thought his brother and sister, I think, were probably at the top as well. You got a chance, especially hearing his sister speak, you got a chance to really kind of see the dynamic between his brothers and his sister. It was really a great day to celebrate Peter, and you got the chance to get to know him on an even deeper level, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a boost right now. Man, the Padres are going to dedicate this season to him, and I don't think they're taking any of this lightly. I mean, I think these players and
the whole
management,
team was there.
Yeah, I mean, this is
fresh off of flight from Korea.
Yeah, everybody that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot about your owner right there. Think the A's players would have been there for what's his name?
I'm not sure if Mr. Fisher.
I don't want to make fun of that. I don't want to make fun of that, but I don't think he would have got the same attendance.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. You talked about AJ Preller and what he's had to say. Let's listen to a little of AJ on Saturday for those who didn't hear it.
One of the last times that I sat down with Peter was this past summer. You know, it was a difficult season. It was a year that I think me and Peter both thought would be the culmination of a lot of years of hard work. We were talking about our current team last year and what we needed to do to turn things around. Peter asked a lot of questions like he always did. He was very optimistic. And at the end, he said, you know, I think this is going to turn around, and had his thoughts on why. And then he broke out this clear plastic bag, looked like it had a controlled substance in it. And he said, let's go light this on. Let's go light this on the field and smoke this up. I thought, wow, that's pretty aggressive. I knew Peter might be a free spirit, but wasn't really sure what was going on. So I called Josh Stein, our assistant GM, who graduated from Cal Berkeley. I figured he might have some experience in this. And we got together down the right field line. Of course, me and Peter couldn't figure out how to light this sage up. So we had to call TJ Lucida, our traveling secretary, who, for those who know TJ, he gets everything done. And he just had a blowtorch in his back pocket or something and showed up and lit this sage on fire. And we carried this incense sage packet, like the Olympic torch, from right field right to the pitcher's mound. And it was there that we spoke good things to our pitchers, spoke about some positive energy into the universe. We then went to home plate, where Sheil joined us, took our shoes off, and said good things for our hitters and our bats to get our bats going. Lucky for all of us, the Chicago Cubs were coming in at that time from the Omni Hotel, so them and their media got to see us on the field doing this. And within the next couple hours, I'd asked some questions about, was that the owner of the Padres and the GM openly trying to do everything we can to win here in San Diego?
Nice story there by A.J. Preller. And, yeah, that's Peter Seidler right there. He can do anything he can to try to win. And he proved that to all of us. I didn't need to hear that story to know that he cared about winning as much as any owner I've ever seen. And, but that's still a great story. Crazy. Yeah, no, AJ was like, "What do I do? What do I do with this situation?"
I like how he says controlled substance.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. When he said controlled substance, I almost fell out of my chair because I just wasn't expecting him to say that. But yeah, man, it was a. And you know, it's funny. It's not really funny, but it's like. It's if you don't believe in a higher power, sometimes it literally was supposed to rain that whole day, and it was sunny, and then the moment we walked off of the field and up into the concourse, it started like pouring rain.
Yeah,
to the point where when Jesse and I were getting ready to leave, we're like trying to time the rain to like slow down because it was raining so hard. It was just like it left us enough time to be able to celebrate Peter, and then the rain came.
Yeah, yeah. When stuff like that happens, you do kind of think that there's something, a higher power at stake there. Manny Machado, who also spoke about Peter Seidler, his former owner, and here's some of what Manny had to say on Saturday during the Peter Seidler ceremony.
One of the greatest humans that I've had the privilege of knowing. Peter left a huge mark, not just in the world of baseball, but in our community. His legacy will live through the countless lives he's touched and the impact he made in everyone in this building. The first time I met Peter was back in 2019 when the day after, the news broke that I signed with the San Diego Padres. We had a long luncheon with ownership, front office executives, and all I remember was Peter in the corner, tossing a baseball up and down, rubbing it like he was rubbing dirt on it. That was Peter. It was then that I learned Peter's passion, respect, and love that he had for this game. He was a mentor and a friend, and he changed baseball in the city of San Diego forever.
Manny Machado got that right. He did change baseball in this town forever. Sent it in a totally different direction. And, you know, for that, the Padres will take his memory forward and honor that throughout this season. They are going to wear a patch, right, with his his initials on it. And hear from Joe Musgrove. I mean, Joe. No, Joe has to speak, and he had.
Thank you, everyone.
Had everybody enraptured. Go ahead, Scrape. Sorry,
I'm not sure what that was. To be honest, I didn't play that.
Oh, you didn't play that. That was the higher power that Tony just spoke of.
I have no idea how that happened, but here we go.
Peter and his team have given the San Diego Padres fans something they can be proud of. He had a vision of what he wanted and put his money where his mouth is and stepped to the plate. He built a team of people around him that could go get the right pieces to give this city a real shot at winning a World Series and gave them what they needed to accomplish that. As players, and I know I can speak on behalf of all my teammates when I say this, we realize the opportunity that we have here in San Diego. For as long as any of us can remember, we've wanted the opportunity to play baseball in the big leagues, to put on a major league uniform and say that you are good enough to play with the big dogs. As you get older and your skills develop and your confidence grows, your ambition grows as well. You go from wanting to just say that you made it to wanting to win championships. And as any former player knows, your time in this game is limited. Fewer than 10% of us will get a chance to play 10 years in the big leagues. And you spend a lifetime of work towards working towards something that, if you're lucky, will give you 10 years to achieve. And as good of a player as you may be, those years might very well be spent on a team that never even sniffs a shot at the playoffs. My point is, every player in that locker room realizes how great of an opportunity we have here in San Diego. That during our short careers, we get to be part of a team that has the firepower that we do, the front office and leadership team that we do, and the ability to play baseball in the best city in the country in front of the best fans in the game.
No, Joe, part of the celebration of life ceremony for Peter Seidler on Saturday. And I think it's important that, you know, we don't forget at all. We mentioned Peter Seidler a lot throughout this season, Tony. I mean, A lot of times these celebration life happen. Everybody says their thing, and then kind of turns a page. And I hope that doesn't happen in this instance. You know, and I don't think it will. I don't think it will.
I think that's where the patch, the PS patch that'll be placed on the chest of the uniform, I think will come in. It's a constant reminder. It's part of the reason why those patches exist when things like this happen. And I think it's fitting the placement of where that patch will lie. It'll be different than, you know, the sleeve that you typically see those at. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's somewhere on the front of the jersey. So,
okay,
that'll be ever present, no matter, you know, in, you know, every national game, every game that's.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:36 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Together in our Odyssey Palace studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, where he held the ribbon, I heard. How was the ribbon-holding ceremony, Tony?
Yes, the ribbon-holding ceremony was pretty sweet.
Was it heavy?
It was kind of heavy. There was about six other people holding the ribbon, so it kind of lightened it up a little
bit. The ribbon. Well,
yeah, it was
all right.
Pretty thick.
Very good.
I was really a bum that you didn't get to use the scissors. I've always wanted to
Scraby
do that.
Scraby says that's on his bucket list, is to cut a big ribbon.
I mean, do you ever see the ones with the big scissors? Like the scissors that fit the same size?
Yes.
That's what I was hoping to see, but, you know, it didn't go that way.
They didn't have one of those.
Yeah. No, they did.
Unfortunate.
All right. Well, Tony, I said I'm definitely proud to be an Aztec for life today. I am sure that you are as well. Quite the performance by the Aztecs over the weekend. A second consecutive Sweet 16. It feels like we're getting more than we ever would have imagined from these guys.
I feel like, and I said this last year, right? Aztecs make the finals. I was like, they go get to another Sweet 16. You have to start thinking of them as like a Gonzaga-type program. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
Second year in a row. And what makes it sweet is they get to go up against a team that, you know, handled them pretty nicely last year in that final. They get a chance for redemption. It certainly won't be easy. This team is equally as impressive in terms of UConn as they were last year. But you can't help but to be, if you're an Aztec, be absolutely elated by what you saw yesterday. That, for me, was the performance I wanted to see to make me feel good about the next matchup, because they had struggled offensively. They've been struggling offensively for quite some time.
Yeah.
And to see them knock down the threes like they did on that stage, it gives you a good feeling going into the Sweet 16 game, because offensively is where you had question marks. If you've been watching the Aztecs over the last month, you've definitely felt a little uneasy about how they have performed offensively. Last night, they came to play.
They were brilliant, and I know how good UConn is. I will never, ever like that. But I do feel if the Aztecs hit 13 threes, they can beat anyone.
I mean,
because they're that. The Aztecs are still that good defensively, and they proved it. Yale was a team. I know Yale's Yale, and everybody's like, well, whatever. Yale had not scored under 60 points for 3 years.
Yeah.
And they got 57 last night. I mean, the Aztecs defensively, both games, just totally dominated the floor against both those first two teams. They're not going to be able to destroy UConn's offense, but they're certainly going to make UConn work for everything they get.
Yeah, I think the crew said it yesterday after the game that was on with CBS, was that if they hit 13 threes, there might not be a team in the country that could beat them when they were playing like they were yesterday defensively.
Yeah.
And I just thought, obviously, Ladie is a monster, and I think the nation is kind of getting a chance to see it. But don't forget about them two guards up front that were causing havoc all game yesterday and really have done a terrific job defensively throughout this short tournament so far.
Very proud of Lamont Butler, especially. I mean, he's had two sensational games in a row.
He's taken out their best guard or best scorer each night.
Both
that
games
they played.
The guy he defended last night scored 36, I think, in the first game. Scored 9 last night and 0 in the first half.
Yeah, 0 in the first half. He was just pounding my man.
Yeah. He's hounding my man. I love the phrase, my man. And I told you that when I ran into Steve Fisher this year at a banquet, not for him, but for the Holiday Bowl, and he came up, and I went over to say hi to him, and he said, hi, my man. I went, nah, you can't use that. That's mine and Tony's. When you don't remember somebody's name.
Hey, it's a good one to go
with. It's a good one to go to, and Coach Fisher used it on me. So, you know, I got to feel it from the other side of the street. Peter Seidler's thing on Saturday, Tony, I mean, you know, so emotional, heartfelt, but healing for a lot of people, and so many wonderful stories and memories. These events are never fun, but I think they're necessary. And I think for somebody the likes of a Peter Seidler, they are well deserved.
Yeah, man. It was called a celebration of life for a reason. I think his lovely wife, Sheil, wanted that to be a celebratory type deal, as opposed to the sadness that is usually attached to it. And there was definitely some of that. You could see the emotion from a lot of the people that were up on stage. But, you know, I think for those who were in attendance, you kind of got to hear a lot of the things we got to hear the day he passed away. And we had people calling into the show and kind of giving you things that you didn't know about Peter. And it was just more of that. And I thought, you know, everybody who spoke, particularly A.J. Preller, who I was so blown away by his speech, because he doesn't really speak like that, from the cuff like that. And I sent him a text later that night. I just asked him who he was. Like, who are you, man? Like, that that was it was really an excellent speech. And it was among a lot of other really good speeches. My mom got up there. She surprised me. I thought Manny did a good job. Joe was fantastic. I thought his brother and sister, I think, were probably at the top as well. You got a chance, especially hearing his sister speak, you got a chance to really kind of see the dynamic between his brothers and his sisters. It was really a great day to celebrate Peter, and you got the chance to get to know him on an even deeper level, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a boost right now. I mean, the Padres are going to dedicate this season to him, and I don't think they're taking any of this lightly. I mean, I think these players and
the whole
management
team was there.
Yeah, I mean, this is
fresh off of flight from Korea.
Yeah, everybody that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot about your owner right there. Think the A's players would have been there for what's his name?
I'm not sure if Mr. Fisher
I don't want to make fun of that. I don't know. I don't want to make fun of that, but I don't think he would have got the same attendance.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. You talked about AJ Preller and what he's had to say. Let's listen to a little of AJ on Saturday for those who didn't hear it.
One of the last times that I sat down with Peter was this past summer. You know, it was a difficult season. It was a year that I think me and Peter both thought would be the culmination of a lot of years of hard work. We were talking about our current team last year and what we needed to do to turn things around. Peter asked a lot of questions like he always did. He was very optimistic, and at the end he said, you know, I think this is going to turn around, and had his thoughts on why. And then he broke out this clear plastic bag, looked like it had a controlled substance in it. And he said, let's go light this on the field and smoke this up. I thought, wow, that's pretty aggressive. I knew Peter might be a free spirit, but wasn't really sure what was going on. So I called Josh Stein, our assistant GM, who graduated from Cal Berkeley. I figured he might have some experience in this. And we got together down the right field line. Of course, me and Peter couldn't figure out how to light this sage up. So we had to call TJ Lucida, our traveling secretary, who, for those who know TJ, he gets everything done. And he just had a blowtorch in his back pocket or something and showed up and lit this sage on fire. And we carried this incense sage packet, like the Olympic torch, from right field right to the pitcher's mound. And it was there that we spoke good things to our pitchers, spoke about some positive energy into the universe. We then went to home plate, where Shield joined us, took our shoes off, and said good things for our hitters and our bats to get our bats going. Lucky for all of us, the Chicago Cubs were coming in at that time from the Omni Hotel, so them and their media got to see us on the field doing this. And within the next couple hours, I'd asked some questions about, was that the owner of the Padres and the GM openly trying to do everything we can to win here in San Diego?
Nice story there by A.J. Preller. And, yeah, that's Peter Seidler right there. He can do anything he can to try to win. And he proved that to all of us. I didn't need to hear that story to know that he cared about winning as much as any owner I've ever seen. And but that's still a great story. Crazy. AJ was like, what do I do with this situation?
I like how he says controlled substance.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, when he said controlled substance, I almost fell out of my chair because I just wasn't expecting him to say that. But yeah, man, it was a and you know, it's funny, it's not really funny, but it's like, it's if you don't believe in a higher power, sometimes it literally was supposed to rain that whole day, and it was sunny, and then the moment we walked off of the field and up into the concourse, it started like pouring rain.
Yeah,
to the point where when Jesse and I were getting ready to leave, we're like trying to time the rain to like slow down because it was raining so hard. It was just like it left us enough time to be able to celebrate Peter, and then the rain came.
Yeah. When stuff like that happens, you do kind of think that there's something, a higher power at stake there. Manny Machado, who also spoke about Peter Seidler, his former owner. And here's some of what Manny had to say on Saturday during the Peter Seidler ceremony.
One of the greatest humans that I've had the privilege of knowing. Peter left a huge mark, not just in the world of baseball, but in our community. His legacy will live through the countless lives he's touched and the impact he made in everyone in this building. The first time I met Peter was back in 2019, when the day after, the news broke that I signed with the San Diego Padres. We had a long luncheon with ownership, front office executives, and all I remember was Peter in the corner tossing a baseball up and down, rubbing it like he was rubbing dirt on it. That was Peter. It was then that I learned Peter's passion, respect, and love that he had for this game. He was a mentor and a friend, and he changed baseball in the city of San Diego forever.
Manny Machado got that right. He did change baseball in this town forever. Sent it in a totally different direction. And, you know, for that, the Padres will take his memory forward and honor that throughout this season. They are going to wear a patch, right, with his initials on it. And hear from Joe Musgrove. I mean, Joe has to speak. And he had
everybody. Thank you, everyone.
Had everybody enraptured. Go ahead, Scrape. Sorry.
I'm not sure what that was, to be honest. I didn't play that.
Oh, you didn't play that? That was the higher power that Tony just spoke of.
I have no idea how that happened, but here we go.
Peter and his team have given the San Diego Padres fans something they can be proud of. He had a vision of what he wanted and put his money where his mouth is and stepped to the plate. He built a team of people around him that could go get the right pieces to give this city a real shot at winning a World Series and gave them what they needed to accomplish that. As players, and I know I can speak on behalf of all my teammates when I say this, we realize the opportunity that we have here in San Diego. For as long as any of us can remember, we've wanted the opportunity to play baseball in the big leagues, to put on a major league uniform and say that you are good enough to play with the big dogs. As you get older and your skills develop and your confidence grows, your ambition grows as well. You go from wanting to just say that you made it to wanting to win championships. And as any former player knows, your time in this game is limited. Fewer than 10% of us will get a chance to play 10 years in the big leagues. And you spend a lifetime of work towards working towards something that, if you're lucky, will give you 10 years to achieve. And as good of a player as you may be, those years might very well be spent on a team that never even sniffs a shot at the playoffs. My point is, every player in that locker room realizes how great of an opportunity we have here in San Diego. That during our short careers, we get to be part of a team that has the firepower that we do, the front office and leadership team that we do, and the ability to play baseball in the best city in the country in front of the best fans in the game.
No, Joe, part of the celebration of life ceremony for Peter Seidler on Saturday. And I think it's important that, you know, we don't forget at all. We mentioned Peter Seidler a lot throughout this season, Tony. I mean, a lot of times these celebration life happen. Everybody says their thing and then kind of turns a page. And I hope that doesn't happen in this instance. You know, and I don't think it will. I don't think it will.
I think that's where the PS patch that will be placed on the chest of the uniform, I think will come in. It's a constant reminder. It's part of the reason why those patches exist when things like this happen. And I think it's fitting the placement of where that patch will lie. It'll be different than, you know, the sleeve that you typically see those at. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's somewhere on the front of the jersey. So,
okay.
That'll be ever present no matter, you know, in, you know, every national game, every game that's televised, you'll get a chance to see it. And I think, you know, for the players, it's really hard to miss. You'll put that uniform on every day. And you'll have to glance at that at some point, and it'll be a constant reminder, as it should be, for throughout the course of this year.
All right. Not to go from that heartfelt situation to a mess that is happening in Los Angeles, but Shohei Ohtani is addressing the media right now. From all I can tell, we have it on the MLB Network. That's the only camera that's in there, and he's not going to take any questions. But it seemed like, basically, Shohei talked for quite a while.
He did, yeah.
His interpreter.
Jesse was saying, kind of mouthing it to me while we were just, you know, going over Peter. This is the first time I think we've ever heard his voice. I can't remember hearing his voice.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Here's Bob Nightingale had a quote from Shohei. I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never asked anyone to do it on my behalf.
Okay, that's probably a good denial.
That's probably the most important statement that he can give at this point.
Yeah, yeah. His interpreter was jotting down notes because Shohei was talking for quite a while. You know, the old joke is that the guy talks for 10 minutes and the interpreter goes, I didn't do anything. wait a minute, he just spoke for 10 minutes. He had to say more than that. So his interpreter, the guy, and of course it's not his old interpreter. His old interpreter's gone.
Yeah, but, no, I think his old interpreter won't be interpreting anything for quite some time.
I don't think so. So we'll, as soon as we get the info on that.
Here's another quote.
A little more, we'll pass. Oh, Scraby's giving us some. Okay, go ahead.
I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I trusted has done this.
Wow. All right. Sounds like he's laying it in the lap of the interpreter.
Yes, he kind of is, yeah. And I he does seem like such a trustworthy guy, doesn't he? Like it.
Why
makes it,
wouldn't you trust him, though? So quick to not want to trust him?
No, I'm saying that, like, I'm having a hard time.
Because he's a Dodger.
No, well, that is number one. I wouldn't be upset at all if they suspended him for the rest of the year or something like that.
Yeah, all right. I can get that.
I can't get it through my head that, oh, yes, he is actually in on this. Like, it doesn't.
That's my read of it, too, is I don't know if I necessarily buy that his interpreter, like, did all of this. I think at least the first version of the story they told to me is the most believable part, right? His friend got over his head and he wanted to help his buddy out, not understanding the ramifications of wiring money to an illegal
bookmaker.
Yeah.
And then once that came out, I'm sure lawyers were like, nah, man, you got a lot of, you're not covered on this one.
You didn't say that.
He had to kind of reverse course. I think the first version is probably the truest version. And, you know, I could see that's to me is, although it's dumb, and I think it's part of maybe his naivete, that, you know, he was trying to help a buddy out, and, you know, and did it the wrong way. And now he's got his foot in it a little bit.
Foot in it a lot of bit. Very good, Tony. All right, more Gwynn and Chris coming up. We got Daily Gambits. We got more on the Aztecs going to the Sweet 16 and more Padre talk, Big Fives. Chris versus the fans.
Were you just about to say a swear word?
No, I was not.
It sounded like it.
I was not. I was just stumbling over my S's.
All right, here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.